Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Folks, welcome into On to Waveland. It's the Cubs podcast here at The Athletic. I am Brett Taylor, joined by Patrick Mooney. Going to talk some Cubs right here in the juicy middle of spring training and also some World Baseball Classic stuff, because I guess we're kind of also in the juicy middle of that too. And I think for as much as it is a mere exhibition tournament, it is to me vastly more interesting right now than, you know, random Cactus League games. I know your mileage may vary on that, but obviously there were some big things happening this week in the World Baseball Classic, so we wanted to touch on that a bit for those of you who are or are not paying attention. Biggest of which, of course, was... So Team Puerto Rico is playing Team Dominican Republic in a winner moves on, loser goes home game, which was super compelling to me as a baseball fan because there's stars all over these rosters. It's two Latin America areas that care deeply, deeply about baseball. They have a lot of pride in their teams. It means a lot to those communities and those fans. And it was just a huge game. Puerto Rico wins, closed out by Edwin Diaz, who in the celebration tears his patellar tendon, and he's likely done for the year. I have a lot of mixed feelings about all of that because you want to live in one part of it, but then you have to talk about the other part of it. And the discourse immediately goes to, oh my God, why are we letting big league players do this right before the season? So I have some thoughts I wanted to say, but I was curious, Mooney, you're, you know, observing it from the outside. How did you see, you know, that unfolding and the way people were talking about it and whether it does or doesn't mean anything for, you know, the future of the World Baseball Classic or, you know, any of these tendrils of the story I think are interesting to discuss?
I just look at it from the perspective of, like, baseball to me is just such a regional sport now. I feel like you follow the team that you grew up rooting for, or the city you live in now. And then once your team's done, there's not a whole lot of crossover of, like, you know, the equivalent of a Super Bowl party like during the NLCS that we all remember 2016. Like what the neighborhood was like, what the city was like. It was amazing. But so for me to now look at the World Baseball Classic, you know, I don't even know how much like Americans care about Team USA. You know what I mean? Of just like, you know, it's a cool event. I love the passion that those fans are bringing in Miami. I love the style of play.
You mean because there's no pitch clock? That's what you mean, right? Style.
Exactly. Yes. No. Yes. No. The like the flair and things like that. I think, you know, Major League Baseball needs more of that. But in terms of like don't know, appointment viewing when we have March Madness going on and when people are so hyper-focused on their own team. I just don't quite get it. That doesn't mean, like, I hate the event or it shouldn't go on, or that Edwin Diaz is some, like, referendum on whether or not it should exist at all. I just don't feel a lot of, like, buzz or interest or even, like, a, you know, even a push within our own company of, like, this is the deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that all tracks. I think I've noticed stateside, at least, it's getting a lot of attention from, like, super nerdy baseball folks like me, but getting virtually no crossover interest among sort of casual fans, many of whom will be paying attention to the regular season. Like, even that level of fan who tunes in for the regular season, watches a lot of regular season MLB games, is not really, you know, paying attention to, like, Team USA. And I think it was an interesting contrast to, I saw, I believe it was a tweet from the Codify Twitter account. I'm not sure where they got it from, but I want to at least give that credit, that for the knockout game between Team Japan and Team Italy yesterday, 48% of households in Japan were watching. 48%. That is a number I could not possibly wrap my head. That is more than our watching, or close to what are watching the Super Bowl in the United States. So what I don't want folks to lose sight of, because we become so parochial and localized at the way we think about baseball in our country, it is a massive, massive international sport. And that matters to the future of the sport. It matters at some level to the future of the league. And so the World Baseball Classic is important in a lot of ways in that respect. But what I come back to as the most important thing are the players and the fans to whom this really is what it's supposed to be, which is a celebration of the sport and an opportunity to show some pride in your country and your team and win, especially because, as we know, baseball in the Olympics has had a fraught history, and you don't really get top players participating when it's even in the Olympics. So this is kind of the thing. And I'm not saying it's the World Cup. I'm not saying it's anything on that level. But to these players and to a lot of fans, it really means a lot. And so I was doubly bummed when the Diaz injury happened, because I knew, well, one, obviously I was bummed because it's just you hate to see guys get hurt, seriously injured. Just don't want to see it. You don't want to see the landscape of the National League playoff race resculpted in March because of something like that. But I was also just bummed because I knew that this is where a lot of the discussion was going to go. It was going to be, well, should guys even be playing in it? Should it be in spring training? Should it be at a different time? And it's kind of like the brake pump on that for me is, well, it's not just about Major League Baseball. Like, this is an international tournament. You know, some of the best players on Team Japan, which is just thumping every team, don't play in Major League Baseball. They're the best, some of the best players in the world, and they don't play in our country. And so, I don't know. I feel like we got a little, we're thinking a little too myopically about what this tournament is in relation to MLB. But that said, and we'll transition a bit with this, I can't fight the feeling that you mentioned, Mooney, that ultimately I do pay way more attention to my team. You know, I care way more about the Cubs than I do about Team USA. And so, you know, Marcus Stroman is going to be starting today for Team Puerto Rico in their knockout game. And I would be completely full of shit if I did not admit that I see that with some trepidation. You know, I'm sort of like, you know, just get through it, fine. And, you know, how would my reaction be the same if this had happened to Stroman instead of Edwin Diaz? I don't know.
I mean, Brett, you'd be dropping F-bombs left and right if Seiya Suzuki injured his oblique while playing in the WBC. Oh. But he did you a favor and just got it out of the way. Yes. Before he could even go do that. Like, we would have a whole episode about Seiya's oblique and, like, thought pieces on the WBC. But since it happened beforehand, it's like, hey, dry swings this weekend. Maybe hit off a tee.
Where,
you know?
Where's the think piece on... there should be no practice before Cactus League games, because a guy got hurt doing practice before the only Cactus League games matter. because nobody's gotten hurt in those.
Yeah, and it is weird to see, like, just, I don't know, Twitter is just kind of melting everyone's brain of people, like, you know, saying how the WBC should not exist in any form. And, you know, I think it was like, you know, Keith Olbermann was getting into it with Adam Jones. I don't know. There's so many rabbit holes you can go down on. Like personally, I don't really care that much about the WBC. Like, I think it, you know, when you look at a March Madness bracket and how, like, simple and straightforward it is versus, like, you know, all these waves of pools and run differential tiebreakers and kind of who's playing, who's not playing, and whoever is playing is under certain restrictions. Like, I don't know. It's really hard to get people to pay attention to anything these days. And, you know, I'm not quite sure how the WBC breaks through there. And then there are just always going to be a segment of the kind of world population that just likes ripping on things and complaining about things. So, I don't know. I guess if you're the Cubs, you hope Stroman gets through it healthy. You know, I think the real germane one was Javier Assad just, like, blowing away Team USA in a way that all of us were like, whoa, I thought he was kind of like a, you know, pitchability, command, you know, baseball IQ guy, and then just ripping through that USA lineup. I thought, you know, it kind of changed the perception of him and certainly gave the Cubs decision makers a real great data point to consider as they make these decisions. And I do think that him in the bullpen, while maybe it's not like their first choice, David Ross said that's on the table. And I don't think we would have said that in the middle of February when pitchers and catchers reported to Mesa.
Well, it's funny because we were talking about it on the podcast either last week or the week before that David Ross had mentioned in one of Assad's outings, you know, he was touching 95, and we kind of I was like, wait, what? He's touching 95 and starts in March? Is that right? Did he misspeak? Well, we got our answer. I mean, obviously he was. And, you know, multiple thoughts on that. I love that you brought that up because I'll leave the WBC stuff behind with only to say, as thrilling as it was to see Javier Assad pumping 97 and striking out some of the biggest names on Team USA, of course, a little part of me was like, okay, but maybe take it a little easy, bud. You know, it's March, just take it easy. So we'll see. He and Team Mexico are actually facing Team Puerto Rico today, so we'll see if he... Julio Urias is starting that one, but I would not be the least bit surprised if Assad gets into the game. So, okay, but about his role, I try to remind myself, you know, I saw you had written about this, about the Cubs potentially considering Assad in the bullpen, which at first caught me off guard for, I think, a lot of reasonable reasons. You know, that you'd love to develop anybody who's got the skill set to be a starter as a starter, and he's in the rotation competition, and we know the Cubs are going to need starting depth at AAA, and et cetera, et cetera. Lots of good reasons. But then I had to step back and remind myself, the reason this guy is in the rotation competition in the first place is because he's really good. And so at some level, you almost have to stop yourself and be like, wait a minute. You don't have to say, well, he can only be a starter. He either makes the rotation or he heads to AAA to start. We know good teams that are overflowing with pitching, they send, quote, starting pitching prospects to the bullpen all the time. You know, we actually finally got a taste of it with the Cubs last year, you know, where you had Justin Steele starting the year, finally in the rotation after the year before he was in the bullpen. And that's how he got sort of folded in. And good teams do this when you're overflowing. And it may be the case that by the end of spring training, or, well, when these decisions come down sooner than that, the Cubs might say, you know what? Javier Assad is one of our best eight, and sometimes you just say, screw it. We want our best eight in the bullpen, and he's one of them.
Yeah, I think you would have an Adrian Sampson, a Caleb Killian already stretching out in Iowa. I think there's optimism that Kyle Hendricks at some point, maybe in May, June, you know, will be a valuable midseason addition. And so I think the thing with Assad would be, you know, Ross loves experience and proven durability in the bullpen. And, you know, it does make me wonder, too, of, and this is just me like guessing, but like some of these locks we've put down, like for the Cubs bullpen, like don't have like tremendously long track records, and like some of the stuff that they're counting on are, you know, sort of unproven guys, and you know, I don't see, like, there shouldn't be this like absolutely clear hierarchy other than, you know, we think Michael Fulmer's the closer, Brad Boxberger is a guy who can really navigate through a lineup and handle end game situations, like locked in there. And you know, you think Thompson and Alzolay are, you know, they were not stretched out, so you have them there. And Brandon Hughes is the only lefty on paper, but you know, Rowan Wick signed that, you know, pre-arb deal, but there's still some flexibility there. So I don't, there just hasn't been that like clear definition back there that I wonder if Vasad's throwing that well, like just why not, and then figure out the other stuff around that.
Especially because the Cubs, like you suggested there, have so much flexibility with what they can do with a lot of these guys. You know, it's like Rowan Wick's a perfect example. There is a presumption that he's making this bullpen for because of the history there and because he did sign pre-arb. But he has an option left. It's like, look, we're trying to win, and that doesn't mean you're not going to contribute at some point. It's just, look, these are the guys we want right now. And so I'm not, that's not me dumping on Wick specifically. It's just, he's an example of a guy we think of as locked in, but there's flexibility there. In reality, the only guys that there isn't flexibility, you know, Albert Alzolay is out of options, but he's making it anyway. Mark Leiter Jr. has an opt out coming. So got to make a decision on him. And Julian Merriweather has no options. And I think he's looked, to me at least, he's looked like a guy who needs to make this bullpen. Beyond that, other than the two free agents they signed that you mentioned, I mean, there's just tons of flexibility. They can move guys around as necessary. And so there is going to be that opportunity if they want to take it. It actually kind of circles back to my point about how ramped up Assad is now because of the WBC. Maybe some of his best bullets are going to come in April and May and June this year. And maybe you don't want him going back to Iowa and sort of stretching back out and trying to like reshape his performance around, okay, I'm going to be ready when they need me to start. Maybe you want him to just keep cooking. Maybe you just want him to come straight from there and keep cooking. And I was glad you brought that up because it really shuffled my thinking on him specifically. And it was just easy to forget about him as a possibility because the Cubs do have so many relief options.
Because, I mean, you alluded to Brandon Hughes this morning, right? In Bleacher Nation, in your
about
kind of like roundup.
How he's looked this spring?
Right, yeah, right.
Yeah, it was yesterday, but so just for whatever it's worth to folks. And I'm not trying to, listen, we don't have full data available in the spring. Camera angles aren't great. You're, you know, whatever. So I'm not trying to make any grand pronouncements. But we do know that Hughes was delayed in his ramp up. He was a little behind. And watching his appearances this spring, I don't feel like he's looked like the guy we saw last year. There's like something that's just not, I mean, command is always a factor, but like there's just something about the fastball doesn't quite seem to have as much life. The slider is not sort of embarrassing guys in the way it did last year. And it's spring training. There's still 2 weeks. There's a million reasons why that's like not a concern, but I'm just saying, as I look at a lot of other guys when they're pitching, I'm like, man, this guy looks good. Man, this guy looks good. And so it stands out when there's a guy we think of as locked in who just maybe doesn't quite look ready yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think Hughes was a little behind because they factored in his workload and the role that he would play on the team this season. And certainly all the talk in camp has been around, you know, you only have one lefty and it's Hughes. And so again, we're not picking on Rowan Wick, we're not singling out Brandon Hughes, but just like in general, until the Cubs discovered this low-cost bullpen formula, every year Jed Hoyer was talking about, you know, relief performances are the most volatile ones in the business and, you know, stuff like that. And I do wonder if, you know, either we on the outside are maybe overprojecting certain players, or maybe if the Cubs are overestimating internally. Like, I do think these final 10 days or whatever, there could be some shuffling that we're just not quite privy to yet, or they're not really diving into those conversations quite yet. But it wouldn't be surprise me if there was one of those, like, I didn't quite see that coming. And also, you know, whatever the bullpen is on March 30th, like, it'll probably be different like 3 days later. And, you know, I think Merriweather is the one who has stood out. I asked Ross about that the other day, because when Team Canada was at the Sloan Park complex for a workout in that exhibition, I was talking to someone from Toronto and who asked about Julian Merriweather. And honestly, I got Julian Merriweather and Jordan Holloway confused in my head, because it was just part of that grab bag of reliever guys. And he's like, maybe he's strained an oblique. And then I think it was the other guy, obviously. But, you know, with, I had asked Ross, kind of prefacing it that way, of this guy's had great stuff, but he's always been injured. And like, how do you factor that in? And knowing that Ross is someone who wants that track record, and, you know, he said the stuff has lived up to the hype, that he's looked great every single time on the mound, and you'd like that track record, but that's not the end all be all here. And I do think he is at least trending toward a guy you'd probably put in the bullpen. I mean, just, you know, his kind of pedigree, as a prospect, the data they're getting, whatever kind of traits they see that they think they could, like, you know, turn something up here, tweak there, he kind of fits that profile. So I think you'd probably put him in. And then, you know, with all these bullpen guys, like, they have the least job security out of anyone. You know, someone's going to get injured. You could almost guarantee it between now and opening day. They'll be, oh, someone's feeling, you know, shoulders feeling a little tight, or, you know, just general arm fatigue, nothing to be concerned about. We're being required. Like, all that stuff's going to be coming, because it always does.
Yes.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
I think I want to, since we're on it, there's no segue here. It's just, I feel like there is one guy who's in the bullpen mix that I never mention. And I keep forgetting, there's not any reason, but it's Michael Rucker. I just never mention him. And I think it's because, you know, last year he was just sort of like capable, you know, he didn't really stand out in good or bad, that's useful. You know, it's hard to be not noticeable in the major leagues. That means you're passing some threshold. But he too has looked good this spring, and he's had stretches in his sort of prospecting career where he has put it together really well and been impressive. And I think he has options left, but, you know, I think the thing we maybe don't think about as much is if a guy like, you know, Mike Tauchman is going to make the roster. Well, he needs a 40-man spot. So the Cubs are going to have to do some stuff. And Mark Leiter Jr., if he makes it, need a 40 man spot. So there are going to be considerations in terms of bouncing guys that go beyond whether they have options left. But I think, you know, I just feel like I should mention Rucker more because he's looked good. He was solid enough last year. And I think there's a reason when there was crowding on the 40 man earlier in the offseason, there's a reason he didn't get bounced. The Cubs kept him for a reason. I think they still like the potential there for him to be a nice, solid middle reliever for them. So he probably is still very much in the mix to make that opening day bullpen.
I had the same experience while writing up a notebook or a mailbag the other day of running down who's in, who's out. And, you know, it does say something that he was not part of the churn on the 40-man during the offseason. He kept that. And then also the Cubs also show what they thought of him by, you know, shuttling him back and forth because he had that option. And clearly that's what they want to do. And it will be interesting to see how they piece that together, how they fit Talkman on the roster, because it seems pretty obvious that he's their guy. And otherwise, I don't know. It seems like the group of position players are pretty much set then. I think we're all operating on the assumption that Christopher Morel and Elson Velasquez will play consistently at AAA Iowa instead of playing like once a week in Chicago. Whatever you think of the Nick Madrigal third base experiment, at least publicly, David Ross is saying he's passed the eye test in terms of lateral quickness, arm strength, being able to just kind of handle the basics. And at that point, it seems like they'd like his contact skills at their disposal off the bench or as a, you know, part-time starter. And, you know, Edwin Rios, I think, is interesting as a left-handed hitter who's whatever 28, 29 and never got that shot with the Dodgers. I mean, we're getting into, you know, Theo taking old Red Sox prospects off of the you know, DFA bin territory here with all the ex-Dodgers. But, you know, to me that seems pretty set barring an injury down the stretch here.
Yeah, it feels like in a roundabout way the Seiya Suzuki injury, which nominally opened the door for Talkman to make the roster, actually also clarified a lot of the other edge case questions, because it means you're going to need someone like Patrick Wisdom or Trey Mancini to spend some time in right field, which means, okay, there's going to be more openings on the infield, so maybe we can carry Edwin Rios, and okay, there'll be starts a third for Nick Madrigal. You know, what'll happen when Seiya returns is just not something you worry about now. And I think ultimately you just, you try to construct the best roster you can coming out of camp and then cross whatever bridges come when they do, because someone else might get hurt and it might be the same week that Seiya is returning, and then you end up not having to worry about it. I think you're right that once it became, I mean, clear would be the wrong word, but once it became expected that Velasquez and Morel were going to head to AAA, that answered just so many of the roster questions. And so barring injury over the next couple weeks, which you can't bar, but I think we kind of have a good sense of what the bench is going to be. But we'll see. We'll see what happens over the course of the next week. Maybe there'll be some injury in the WBC that changes things up and we can have another round of frustrated discourse on that. You totally rocked me there when you were like, if Seiya's injury had happened in the WBC, dude, you're totally right. I would have been apoplectic. I don't know that I'd like to think I wouldn't like be blaming the WBC or say, I'd be like, I think it'd be more of just like, why? But you're right. So that was a good thing that it happened before he left. You got anything else for folks?
Oh, I think the only thing I would say is that after almost three full weeks in Mesa, I do feel like we're due for, you know, a late March surprise, whether it's some roster thing where we didn't see coming or something, some sort of Cubby occurrence, because it just does seem like, you know, maybe the Cubs are just getting better at covering up injuries or something. But other than the Seiya issue, things have gone relatively smoothly. I'm saying that out loud. I don't know. Maybe I'll be proven wrong.
By the time
but
this
it,
publishes,
yeah,
someone will have a broken
feel,
arm.
Yeah, it does feel like, you know, surprisingly quiet and businesslike and, you know, not like bursting at the seams with personality. And that's something that why Hayden Wesneski has really like stood out to me this camp as like someone who, and even Cubs people like say this, like someone who's, you know, on the mound, like the way he's, you know, tugging his jersey, adjusting his hat, kind of strutting around the mound, like he acts like someone who's been there before for a very long time. And the Cubs certainly need some of those breakout guys, and to me he's like the most obvious one, like right there, right in front of you. And you know, we'll see if he can translate his success from last year and his good results in the Cactus League and really everything the Cubs are saying about this guy. But you know, outside of him, there just hasn't been like a whole lot of I don't know, buzz or kind of wackiness or just kind of like spring training hijinks. I'm not complaining. I'm not criticizing. It just was kind of the main takeaway I got leaving Arizona last night.
It has been kind of a boring spring training, which you could hear as criticism, but honestly, if your choice is a boring spring training or one that is fraught with craziness and injuries and freakouts and what have you, you would certainly choose boring. But, you know, it would have been nice to have a bouncy house or two this spring to jump in, either metaphorically or literally. But, you're right, though. We say it, and then some crazy shit's going to happen over the next 12 days to just blow right back up in our face. And then Tim, our producer, can cut a video of you saying, you know, boy, nothing has happened. And then 3 minutes later, hopefully not. All right. We appreciate you folks as always. This is On to Waveland. It's the Cubs podcast here at The Athletic. I'm Brett Taylor. You can get my stuff at Bleacher Nation. That is Patrick Mooney. Get his at The Athletic. Sadiv Sharma is on location out west, so that's why he was not with us today. But I imagine he will be cooking up some great content that you will also want to check out at The Athletic, and head over to the Cubs page. And we'll be back at you next week with about a week and a half to go in spring training. Can you tell I'm getting itchy for the regular season because I keep referencing the amount of time that's left in spring training? Yes, I am very itchy for the regular season. And we'll be there with you when that arrives. But in the interim, a little more spring training to go. Take care, folks.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.